This week with me, Mr. That's Football, Michael Thwaite played 13 times for the Socceroos.
Correct.
Mate, let's have a chat about that.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by Whey Ultra, a 100% whey advanced performance protein designed for results. The ultimate in post-workout nutrition, Whey Ultra boasts a 4x whey protein matrix of peptides, isolates and concentrate, is loaded with BCAAs and EAAs, and is rapidly absorbed for maximum recovery and lean muscle growth. It's enhanced with prebiotics, probiotics and 5 digestive enzymes, plus is free from soy, gluten, added sugar, artificial flavors and sweeteners, and every batch is banned substance tested. Everything your body needs for recovery, nothing you don't.
Welcome to the home of Fit, Happy and Healthy, Body Science HQ. With me, one of the guys who has done something that not many of us can say we've done. He's actually appeared for the Socceroos. Glad you're here. Like, thanks for coming on board. I know it's been hard getting you here because you're a busy man. You're still playing after how many years?
17 years playing professionally, but back here on the Gold Coast. I used to play and captain Gold Coast United back in the A-League under Clive Palmer regime.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Your own private jet.
I still text him every now and then,
Did you vote for him?
In the lower tier. Yes, he did.
He just lives up the road from me.
I still don't know who to vote for. It's kind of what is ever portrayed in the media, I guess.
Yeah, so. Well, he had the money to portray. So, mate, you've got a really interesting career. How does a guy born and raised in, Cairns, basically started your foot in Cairns, go to play on the world platform?
Yeah, I guess growing up, it's all I ever wanted to do. About 12 years old, there was a team called the Brisbane Strikers and a guy, Frank Farina, who was one of the icons for soccer in Australia, one of the first guys to go overseas and play professionally. And so my best friend, Zenon Caravella, he is his nephew. So he kind of triggered my mind to be a professional. And that was actually the first jersey that I bought, Brisbane Strikers, when they won in 97. Ever since that 12 years old, I've always wanted to be a professional. And as you said, to represent Australia even one time and play one professional game, which was at Marconi in the old NSL, I could have died a happy man.
Yeah. Mate, crazy. Let's just talk about, you've got a sports science degree. Let's just talk a little bit about you. What'd you say, 17 years of professional athlete?
17 years.
Okay. What are you putting in your Wheaties in the morning? Like, we all want to know, like, how do you play professional football for 17 years?
Well, last night my wife was teasing me about putting half my body in my freezing, non-heated pool. So recovery is my biggest thing about what you put in your body. I'm huge on ice baths, compression.
Yep.
I've worn body science gear since about 2012 with Perth Glory.
It's funny how we actually met. I'm going to say it. I've got this DM that says, do you want to accept it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll have a look at it. And there's a guy with his pants on the ground pointing to the crowd, if I remember correctly. Like there was something.
Oh, probably screaming.
It was on
the
sideline. Yeah. But your pants were around your ankles and there you were standing in our compression pants. I thought, I love this bloke.
Yeah, it's my most embarrassing moment when people ask me. I was actually captain of Perth Glory and wearing some tan coloured.
So I know, they were that natural colour. They don't look good on anyone, hey?
Which is actually more tan than I am. but yeah, so he gave me a yellow card for tackling a guy on a transition moment. And basically, I don't know, it's probably my anxiety, probably a bit of anger, and just went and just forgot that I was playing in front of 20,000. But lucky I had tights on, and lucky for body science. Yeah. So it was a bit of an embarrassing moment. But yeah, it's when you're young and dumb.
Yeah, exactly, mate. So, mate, where is footy going in Australia? Are we winning the war against the other codes?
Not really. I think the main point is that the participation of kids playing soccer compared to the other code is far bigger than the others, but it doesn't transcend financially when it comes to TV rights and the league in general. So it's a growing league. I think it's about 13 years old, the A-League. And I think the world game is football, and we need to, you know, Asia's on our doorstep. The Socceroos, you know, were qualified for four World Cups consecutively, and I think you know that's amazing. And for me to be a part of that process is a dream come true. But I think the future lies in an independent run league, like everywhere else in the world. We're not like America, where we're Australia. There is ethnic background when it comes to football clubs, and it's about, as I said, like that grassroots, using that participation, but getting it more and more, and more athletes coming through and playing professionally. At the moment, there's only 11 teams, so there needs to be more jobs. I think there's less than 200 Australian players professionally.
Is that right?
For men anyway. So, and that's another thing, the women's game, it's booming, it's growing. There needs to be more investment within their game as well.
Which parts of Australia are really getting behind footy?
Yeah, I mean, Sydney and Melbourne with the derbies. I was at West Sydney Wanderers last year, and the derby is insane. Played in derbies in Romania and Poland overseas. Obviously, internationally, there's derbies as well, you know, with Asia, with Korea, Japan, these rivalries that are happening. But I think that's the answer. And particularly me being a Queenslander, I think having a derby with the Roar, which we did, we used to generate massive attraction and massive fans to those games. So, and it's a shame, you know, nothing's really getting used with that Robina Stadium. I'm sure the Titans are going through their own problems as well, but it needs to be utilized. I think there needs to be another derby, and I think that's the key. That's the answer for. But at the moment, because of the TV rights, it's very central to Sydney and Melbourne. But Queensland is massive, and that's what we need, a derby here again. So hopefully, and that's what I'm trying to push at a semi-professional club, which is Gold Coast United, in that Queensland league now. But getting them back and getting more opportunities for Queenslanders. Yeah.
And you think you're a chance to get that going, or?
I think so. It's going to be a process. I think, you know, as I said, like with in the Clive Palmer era, we didn't really connect with the community that well, and it was heartbreaking. You know, we all had mortgages and whatnot and families, and, you know, to be cut as a club, it was just terrible. And I think there's definitely room. We've got a new base at Talabudra. We're connecting with the council, with the community, connecting with the clubs, the people. Yeah, I think, you know, the council's put like over $10 million into that facility to make it, and it was close to going to like rugby union or touch or something like that. So I'm glad football got it, and it's such a great foundation, so it's good to be part of that growing upwards.
And mate, which types of companies in Australia are really helping with, you know, getting the footy story going? Like, are there any major corps that are getting behind it and really pushing, or is it?
I think the way, as I said, like with FFA at the moment, because they have controlled the league, it's been pretty closed book. I think now, because the owners are unhappy, they're losing a lot of money, which is what Clive Palmer was really fighting for against Frank Lowy, who was a very powerful person in itself. But credit to what he did, he started up the A-League, got it going. But now, as brands, as companies, as clubs, they're seeing that there needs to be more money funneling back to the clubs, back down to grassroots, because at the moment it's expensive to play. To make it professionally, it's expensive compared to the other codes. Like, you know, with the Oz Kick program or what Rugby League are doing, it's expensive to play football. But the reality is, you go to South America, go to Asia, the people that are in poverty, that can't afford it, everyone can play the game. That's the answer. And in Australia, like growing up in Cairns, if it was now, maybe I wouldn't become professional, because it costs a lot of money to play at the semi-pro level, like NPL level, and then get opportunities into a professional level. So the money needs to funnel down correctly so that everyone can play, everyone can compete. No matter what, you know, family situation or money situation the kids are in. So I think just trying to get, as you said, more companies involved and more companies aware that it is the most participated sport, but it needs to transcend on the national stage.
Mate, you touched on the Gold Coast team being cut from the comp and just all of a sudden having nothing. Like, I'm just going to talk about how did you deal with that mentally? Like, you've trained all your life, you played at the highest level. Now, all of a sudden, someone who you've got no control over says you're not running on next week, or you don't have that. And let's be honest, sport is going from sport. You know, you go through preschool, primary school, high school into sport, where you've got a uniform. You're told turn up at this time. You're told you eat as a team, and you have your lunches set, and you really are part of like that whole environment of being with others. It's all of a sudden like, oh, what am am I doing?
And that's exactly what it was.
It's not like you had a chance to retire and go, okay, I've been thinking about this for 6 months. I'm going to retire. What can I set up? Whatever. It's like, bang, yeah. There's no team.
And I was coming into the peak of my career, which is about that 28 years old. When you're feeling best, you're physically at your best. I was performing well, got back into the Socceroos after a time off. And that was because of Gold Coast United. And honestly, that was the happiest time of my career. And we had the most politics in that year where FFA took control of the club and basically we all signed to be part of that. And then within weeks, the club was folded because the same things Clive was arguing about with Frank is evolving now. So basically he actually wanted to control the whole league because he had enough funds to do it, but he wanted the clubs to have more say. And because once he saw how much money he was losing each year, mate, you'd probably pull out as well if you were owning that club solely. Yeah, I mean, it was a sad moment. Like, I had opportunities to go to Asia for the first times because obviously there was more and more players going to Asia and China, South Korea. But at the time I had my second newborn and I was carrying my newborns, and honestly, I cried. I was like, I don't want to have to leave my young family who are three and just being born, two girls, and leave my wife and leave my house and everything that I'd set up here in Gold Coast to go overseas and earn great money, but I don't want to leave my family. So then I chose to come to Gold Coast United from Melbourne Victory, where I just won the championship. They offered me a 4-year deal.
Wow.
And I turned that down to come back to Queensland because it was closer to family. I got family in Brisbane and up in Cairns, but you know, Queensland's in my veins. So I made that decision to take, you know, less money, less years. I signed a 3-year deal at Gold Coast United, and then all those thoughts like of resentment, like maybe I should have, you know, regrettably gone to Melbourne Victory and signed that deal, you know. So those thoughts come across your mind, and then obviously moved over to Perth, which is the other side. It might as well be in Asia.
Yeah.
So, but that was my next step, and yeah, you're playing with your family. You're playing with your life here, even financially, you know, like having to sell your house and build a new life over in Perth. Found myself always trying to get that stability and family settled. So financially, it causes havoc as well. So this is kind of the first time I've felt settled back here again. And I actually said, you know, that Gold Coast United would never start up again. That's why you say never.
Yeah, exactly.
And it started up and I really enjoy it. Okay, I still could be playing professionally, but the reality is I don't want to live away after being at West Sydney and China the year before. This is home for now, and I think that's the most important thing, that I'm still able to play and part of a foundation that's growing again.
Like you mentioned that during that period, you had some periods to yourself where you sat back and cried a bit and really, and we've done that, like when things have gone bad for us too, you sit back and go, shit. Can it get much worse than this? What was there any support around you at that time? Like, did they just go team cut on your own? Did they have people in play to help you, or was there systems you could look into?
The biggest support was the players' union, but they can only control so much, you know. Like, I was captain of the club, and basically we had a crisis meeting when there was probably only one or two games to play in the league, and basically in that third year, because people have got vibes in the second year that the club was going to fold.
Good for your culture.
Yeah. And so as a captain in the third year, we had a lot of young players that just came from the youth team. Actually, the current coach at Gold Coast United, I played centre back with him, Christian Rees. He's a bit older than me, but he was another experienced player. He's actually working for Clive Palmer as well. So Clive gave him the opportunity to stay in rather than moving his family again. So he made that decision and not to decide to sign over with the FFA, but majority of us through the PFA signed over. And then it was actually a godsend because a lot of those young players, for example, like Josh Brillante, he plays for Sydney FC now with the Socceroos, they got more opportunity to play. So I guess everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And there was a number of young players that got other opportunities at other A-League clubs, which was great. But I guess it affects the senior boys more, you know, with houses, with family, with those environments. So it really affected. But the players union were outstanding. You know, they've helped me a lot over the years. And that's kind of what I want to do as well, is that mentoring and trying to guide athletes into making the right decisions about being more balanced. And
that's your brand. That's Football MT. That's what that's about.
Yeah. So basically over my time, whether it be AFL, rugby league, rugby union, football. I've just heard everyone say, oh, that's football. That's footy. And I was like, oh, why don't I trademark that? So I was just like, yeah, did that. And so basically it's a mentoring company, and I'm just trying to get different stories of everything that's happened in different people's lives and environments. But mainly it's to help athletes transition into professional sport and help athletes like myself that are about to retire and come out of professional sport, transitioning out of that. Because at the moment, there's not a lot of help out there. As I said, the players union can only do so much. But yeah, that's my goal anyway, to help players become more balanced in their lives, because yeah, you kind of get involved in that bubble, and once it bursts, you know, it's pretty cutthroat. You know, the clubs won't exactly contact you, and once your contract is over. So I think I'd love to change that, because you know, we do so much for the clubs, but then for it to be just cut and dry, and you know, to figure out the next pathway of what you should do. And even now, like, I've as you said, I've got a sports science degree. I've studied 6 years. I did PE before that. But even now, I still don't. I'm unsure of which direction that I want to take. And for me, as I said to you downstairs, is the next step would probably be to get some work experience in outside of football, just in that grind, in the real world, I call it. So, well, that's what my wife calls it anyway.
Well, that's interesting. You think about it, like, what, 17 years professional sport, and gee, I need to get some work. Like, you've obviously worked hard in football, but. To go that 9-to-5 grind, or look at that style of work, that is a different play for you, isn't it? That's a big step.
I think it is the next step. I think part of our contracts, and I'm sure the other codes do it, they have better transition programs, but we need to get athletes, because obviously you train for that hour or 2 hours. What do you do for the rest of the day? A lot study, a lot are on social media, a lot waste their time, honestly. Yep. They're just head down, I'm training, this is all my life is. And so 17 years of that, where the routine's given to you, the schedule's given to you, you can't go to weddings, you can't go to birthdays, you miss your child's birth, lucky I didn't, otherwise I'd be well in walking. Trouble. But yeah, I mean, this is what you have to eat. It's not real, because the reality is, when you have to think yourself outside of football, outside of your contract, then it's going to be a struggle over a long period of time. And they say the average final game for footballers is like 26 to 27 years old. So they might be in the game for a few years. I think it's even worse for rugby league players.
Yeah, I think it's 4 off the top of my head.
Like, you can't be earning crazy money to set yourself up. Even if you did, what's your purpose after football? I think that's the most important thing, because you know, they say that, you know, earning ridiculous finance anyway is not going to make you happy, but you always need that daily purpose. And if you're not getting it from your schedule, where are you getting that from? That's the issue. But that's what I'm passionate about anyway. So, yeah, basically I've started up a mentoring company, and I want to go to schools and clubs. And
so how do people find you if they want to check it out?
Yeah, I'm questioning why because I'm a little bit against social media. Just in my own experiences, but I'm on Instagram at That's Football MT. I actually deleted all my accounts from when I was Michael Thwaite, the footballer. Had these followers, and they say, you know, this is your brand, and this is who you are, this is your ego. And I was just like, no, I don't want it to be about that. So I deleted all of that, and I've just started up just relaying positive messages and the real what's happening with each athlete, each person, each code, and just to get positive messages out there. But I'm very hesitant. I don't pay for sponsorship and all that stuff. I don't like how, you know, it can snowball people, because I'm more than Michael Thwaite as a footballer. I'm a person. I'm
That's
a dad,
such strong
I'm a father,
words. So. That is such strong words.
Yeah, so it's a hard one. I wanted to do it without social media, but everyone's on it, so how can I get the message out? So it's kind of double-edged sword, you know. But yeah, I'll get there, I guess, eventually, you know. So,
oh, that's funny, mate. As an athlete, there's always someone who's done something with you that, you know, changes your life. Like, one of the things my mum told me when I started business: don't let your enemies know what you're thinking. You know, so I'm not a loudmouth on social media to people. I don't directly tell people. And she was not the business person. She ran our household, and my dad had a great corporate career. But she pulled me aside on day one and said those exact words to me. And I looked at her and said, in my head, I said, that's fucking stupid. But you know what? 20 years on in body science, it's been one of the best things. It stops me blowing up. I'm not that guy, you know what I mean? And people say that, you know, you're good with people and all that. It's just because I'm not going to – and that's one of the strong words my mum said to me in my life. Like, did you have that experience?
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of those messages that your parents relay to you. And I guess, you know, my dad, who coached me since 7 to about 16 or 17, he was very – important in my own relationship with my wife Chantel. And I remember back when I was 17,
and my dad's giving girlfriend advice. Here we go.
When we were back 17, I was always scared that a relationship would hurt my football. Okay. And he always used to say, you know, women will always add to your life. But the things that he went by was he used to call it the three C's. That's communication, commitment, and compromise. Basically, yeah, in any relationship, whether it be as a coach or a player, if one of those things break down, then, you know, the relationship won't work, or the marriage won't work, or the girlfriend won't work. Yeah, so that I actually use those messages to players these days as a coach, as part of Gold Coast United, you know. So and you don't need to be the greatest player or have the tactical ability. You know, if you can talk to people, if you can cover for people as compromise, and if you give 100% in commitment, the relationship will work and you'll get success. I actually add another one is element of surprise. So obviously when we get to the final third in any football code, you want to score goals, and obviously a defensive third to save goals. So element of surprise, which means giving flowers every now and then to make it work. So,
go, Dad.
So communication, commitment, and compromise, and an element of surprise. That's what I tell people these days.
So your dad gave you the three C's, you added the surprise, and you went on to play for the Socceroos 13 times.
And, right, you know, like growing up, if I played one professional game and one time for your country, I could have died a happy man. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful for this opportunity, but it's what's next, and that's going to be the biggest challenge, I think.
I love it. I love it. Mate, you mentioned China. Like, when times were tough, you turned back and went back to China after a stint in Perth. Is that right?
Yeah, so after – and it was hard. I was in Perth for 4 seasons, and I either had to decide to set up and stay there, but – we always knew we were Queenslanders at heart. So basically, when I signed in China, obviously I went there mainly for finance to set the family up a bit after a long career.
Did the whole family go, or just you?
Nah, just me. And
how long were you there for?
I was there a year. I probably saw my family, I could count on my hands, probably 10 days or less.
Wow.
And then following that,
because it's not the warmest, friendliest place in the world, is it? They don't walk up and go, hey, how you going this morning, mate? Like, it's
yeah, I mean, I always wanted, as I said, growing up, when I was younger in Cairns, I always wanted to play in Australia, in Europe and Asia. So it was something that was playing on my mind, and I had opportunities when I was probably mid-20s. But at 33, to get that opportunity is very rare. And I'm thinking that the CEO at Newcastle Jets, Laurie McKenna, and his agent, Rocky, they're allowed to say their own English name, so we call him Rocky. But so they sorted the deal, and yeah, I'm very grateful for that opportunity. I think my first home game, we had like 60,000 people.
Wow, how good's that?
Yeah, it's insane. As I said, like, Asia's on our doorstep. We need to do a lot more with that. But yeah, I mean, it was a real culture shock. It was the pollution, the overpopulation, the food. I put on, like, I'd been 83, and I still am 83 my whole career. I went to like 89, you know, crazy. So you imagine what that does to you. And it's probably the first time, because part of my program is also to talk about mental health as well. And, you know, I was more of a worrier and a real anxious person. So I could really feel myself snowballing into almost depression. And that's a big passion of mine. And, you know, I was on and off medications and things like that when I started working out what I needed to do. But yeah, when I was living over there, it wasn't the best, away from my family first and foremost. And then to cap it off last year with West Sydney Wanderers, it was almost making my life toxic. And but yeah, just being back here now in something that I believe in, you know, I don't need to take medication. I feel it's an ongoing thing, I guess, with anxiety and things like that. But you can see, you don't want to be in those environments that, just because of money, just because of what you want to achieve, it's about so much more. So yeah. But it's a lesson, it's a life lesson, and that's what China was.
Well, mate, you need to share that story with more people, because everyone thinks money changes the world. So
yeah, and you need it, of course, you know, like my daughters do ballet and horse riding. Yeah. So it's not the most cheapest sports that I can say, but you know, you need to be there for your family. And I'm grateful that my wife has made, and that's another issue. The partners normally, you know, they're normally
they don't get enough credibility,
whatever,
do they?
But they don't have their own purpose. They don't have their own job, and then obviously, when football ends, then, you know, what happens then? How's the balance? What happens? But my wife's always, you know, she was a nurse and now a sonographer. She's always been firm in working and having her own identity. So that's another thing, a message for the partners to keep that going, because it shouldn't be just about the athlete either, you know. So I'm very lucky that she's down to earth, and she's a Cairns girl as well. I grew up with her as well. We went to the same high school together. We weren't always together at the same high school, but...
Stop it, from high school.
Yeah.
Country kids taking on the world. I love it.
So, but that's so important about that holistic well-being of the athlete. I think it's the partner is crucial, as you know.
So that's football. Just stepping back to that and all the experience you've got there, are you working with clubs, managers? How are people finding you in that space? Is it, I mean, does a manager see you as a threat? Does a club see you as a threat? Because
no, I mean, there's a gap. There's a gap there, you know, like I think the mentoring off field, because everyone does these on field academies and trains the players on field. But the reality is, if you don't have it upstairs, you're not going to make it professionally.
Yeah.
That's full stop, or success in any business. So initially I was just meeting company, you know, I talked to you quite a while ago and just saw what you were doing or what you did with your own merch. And I've always loved jerseys. Like I've collected jerseys. I've probably got like over 50 jerseys from across the world. And
how many are under the steps and how many are on the wall?
I'm only allowed two. So one Socceroos jersey and one Melbourne Victory jersey. I actually donated one of my Gold Coast United clients Palmer era jerseys to the club, and it was actually to do with the World Cup bid, which was a fail as well, but it was a political thing. So I want to create my own jersey, and that's like I really enjoy sports equipment and gear, and as you know, like compression gear, nutrition stuff. I love sports equipment. When I was a kid, I used to just go to now Rebel, but like Amart All Sports or Intersport or Sports Power, and just look at gear and boots. And I didn't care about the money. If like my first professional contract was with Marconi, and then I think we're decked out in Kappa gear or something like that. But just look at yourself and feel professional. And, you know, I've been sponsored by Nike for almost 20 years to get free boots. I used to have to break my boots before the 12-month warranty ended when I was a kid, like, because I didn't have money. But I wanted to create my
How
own.
Good's that? I used to break my footy boots. Getting warranty.
Keep that in the lowdown with Adidas and Nike. Yeah. I wanted to just create my own brand, my own tee. I was doing, like, I wanted to do it through you guys eventually, but then I ended up doing, like, tees through AS Colour. But the thing is, they stopped making this, like, athletic type fit. Yeah. So I don't know where I just ordered, like, 50 of them initially, and then I'm doing like hats now through another company, but I guess it all comes from China. But yeah, now I've run out of them, so I need another plan B. But I'm just I've been giving them. I was gonna go down the road of like raising my charging for them, but at the moment I'm just getting stories, and I don't know where it'll go.
And that's interesting what you're doing there, getting stories. Like, you're throwing a t-shirt at someone and then you're actually saying, I want to talk about for a minute, can you tell me about where you've used the word that's football?
Well, you
I
can be one of
your story. This is your podcast, mate.
Yeah so basically
let's hear your minute. Let's go. Time on. Get a time on, please? Ready, set, go.
Well, basically, when I first moved to Sydney, I was playing for Sydney University, and basically, I was playing for the university team, and in a local game against Fraser Park, and there was an ex-Socceroo coach, Raul Blanco, who was watching the game, and I actually scored a couple of goals. I was playing more of a attacking midfielder than headless chook, but did well in that game, and basically he invited me to trial at Marconi in the youth team. And that's football, you know. 90 minutes can change your game. It can make will break you, basically. But it's just the right time, right place. And within 6 weeks with the youth team at Marconi, he invited me up to the first team. And yeah, my contract wasn't too big. I think I was traveling and spending all, I was living off about $50 a week back then in Sydney. Had no car, uni all day, buses to out at Bosley Park, and yeah, just chaos. Getting home at midnight pretty much every day. But
probably the happiest you ever were to in your footy
happiest,
career.
Happiest, I think. And then in the second year when my contract got upgraded at Marconi, the NSL finished after that. And but that's football again. I had to decide to take more money and go in the state league or go overseas and troll in Romania. So, but they're the pathways you need to choose, and right now I'm on another pathway. So basically I've been getting you know, stories from different athletes, you know, when they've scored an own goal or they scored the winner, whatever it may be.
And what are you going to do with that when you got it all together?
I've just been recording them on my phone and I just put it on the Instagram page, and I think I've put out 8 stories so far. Have you got a story for me?
Mate, to be honest.
Where you said that's football or that's footy or?
Sadly, when I used to say the word football when I was younger, I wasn't talking about soccer. So to me, that's football was playing rugby league. So probably not going to sit really well on your platform.
Yeah, that's okay. It's about all codes, really.
Exactly, mate. It's about people getting out and doing stuff, isn't it? It's probably the funnest thing I've ever, every year growing up in a rugby league school, they'd have the national.
What was the school?
Keeper Park. I went to high school at, but this is back in Holland Park. I'm talking about like in grade 7, which was still primary school back then. Every year the football team, they'd have the Brisbane schoolboy soccer thing. So our rugby league team would put together a soccer team and go out and play soccer for one day.
Yeah.
Same as the AFL. We used to have one game of AFL a year, and it was just funny when you have no idea what you're doing. You're playing against guys that are skilled. The possibility for you to hurt someone was high, you know, like you're running at someone with the ball and not knowing how people would act around a ball because you're used to having it in your hand. We were just killing kids, like, and not even meaning to. Like, they were just turning and arcing in places that we weren't expecting, and that's football for me, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Had a lot of fun. We didn't know what we were doing, but it was.
And I think that's the beauty of Australian culture, and this is what we need to get hold of. I played a different sport every term, and that's what makes us mentally tough. That's what makes us resilient. And maybe that's the answer behind, you know, kids suffering anxiety, or just we're known as those tough people.
Yeah.
And I use information with me now coaching at Gold Coast United as well. I use information from basketball, from AFL, from NRL. It doesn't matter. That's football. It's our culture.
Yeah.
We're different than other. We shouldn't look at other cultures. We're good at a lot of sports, so why should we go from that, you know? So I think a lot of athletes in Australia, you could play anything, and that's what, you know, the bigger codes do, you know. They target athletes from different schools, and that's what it's about. It's about being active, you know. That's, again, you know, like, I'll have an on-field aspect where I'll go to a club or school, but it's trying to get these kids active and off their devices, and it can resolve so many issues, you know, just being out, you know, yourself, like with your gym at your little home gym that you're talking about. You know, you get the people in your suburb around just working hard and exhausting themselves, and it makes you feel so much better.
Oh, it's good to have a purpose and a tribe and all those. And that's the stuff, like, what we'll touch on before with you, like, to go to China by yourself to play footy.
Yeah.
And money's a driver, like you said, that was why you had to do it. Like, how is rocking up on the first day to a team where I guess the coach didn't speak English?
No English.
90% of the team didn't speak. Did you have any?
We were lucky. We had a translator, but obviously the translator's working for the coach.
He's employed by the coach.
Never know what
the message.
I mean, this coach was saying a lot of things, and then for it to be
bang,
it's
bang,
okay,
bang.
It's all fine.
Yeah,
no chance. Yeah, but it's scary. I mean, I was very lucky to have another Australian, James Trissi. He played for Melbourne Victory, and then when he got released, it was Dario Vidicic. But without those Australian guys there, I was going in a direction where no one wants to go. And I guess for the first session, you're trying to weigh each other out. It's just it's hard, you know, going to new. I've done it so many times, you know. I've played at, you know, almost 10 clubs now, or probably 9, because Gold Coast has restarted again. But it's hard to sit in that change room not knowing anyone, let alone, you know, not speaking the language. I had experience obviously when I was from 20 playing in Romania and Poland and Norway, where you don't.
How was playing footy there?
Ah, it's insane. But it's you got to learn. I think they appreciate what they do in China. If you start speaking the football terms, the language in Chinese or Romanian or Polish, and then they see you eating their food, experiencing their culture, I think they really respect that. Like, I guess if they came here.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're very multicultural here, you know, in Australia, in part of our history. So I was always, a lot of the foreigners go there and they separate themselves, and I think that's not good. But I was always willing to try chicken feet and chicken heads.
There's
chicken
some
everything.
Different foods in China, isn't there? Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's an amazing country.
Oh, when my parents and my father-in-law came over, they were eating all the street food. I kind of avoided all that because, you know, you'd probably get gastro.
In one hand, out the other, yeah.
But yeah, I think the point is to experience, and that's all I wanted to do. Just, I'll probably, you know, with the Socceroos, with the Olympic team, and with the under 20 team, national teams. I've probably been to up to 40 countries and all paid for wow. from football. Like, and for me, that experience means more than anything. Just learning a different language and cultures, and yeah, it's amazing.
On a footy field with playing in China, what's the five words you had to learn? Just for us people that might go
there. Son, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
You just learn. I didn't learn a lot of swear words, but it's just, yeah, you learn how to count, to say, you know, shishi, pukachi, or the, you know, thank you. Like,
yep.
you learn just to be, just the basic terms. I think it's invaluable. And that was the same in Romania. I get a little bit mixed up though, like, because obviously you go to different Eastern Europe and in Scandinavia, and it's hard, you know, you go from one country to the next, it gets confusing, like it's all muddled. So, but I always wanted to learn different languages, so yeah, I think it's a respect thing when it comes to other countries.
Mate, you've speaking of respect and good things, you've been doing a bit with the YAMS Foundation.
Yeah, so
I haven't heard of that before. What's that? It says You Are My Sunshine.
Yeah, You Are My Sunshine Foundation. It's basically all funds go to research with neuroblastoma. It's a form of childhood cancer. And yeah, so I give like whatever. Well, I was selling the teas, but I find it hard to administrate all that stuff, and I was giving 5%. So every time I go to a club or school, I give 5% to the charity. She's yeah. raised like over $1 million on her own back.
Wow.
Jude, and
there's some amazing people out there, isn't
she's
there?
She's in Phillip Island outside of Melbourne.
Yep.
And amazing woman. Like, that, I think she lost one of her nieces to neuroblastoma, and yeah, ever since she's raised more than enough for the research. And yeah, but obviously it's a political thing, you know, about where money goes government-wise.
Yeah, there's only so many things you can do.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do. So I've had a big passion for that. Actually, one of the girls that lived down from my family in Cairns, she's been out of it for 5 years, but she suffered the same with neuroblastoma. So that kind of touched my heart as well. So yeah, any money that I can raise for them, I think it's a good thing.
So that's yamsfoundation.org.au, kids, if you want to go and have a look. Okay, mate, let's have a chat about your sport. Who's your favourite sports hero?
My favourite sports hero would be Frank Farina.
Yeah, what's that?
Just growing up in Cairns, he was an icon for Australian football, and yeah, grew up in far north Queensland, represented the Socceroos, and one of the first players to go overseas.
Mate, here's one for you. What are three reasons you like being part of a sporting team?
Three reasons would be fun, and obviously the culture that it brings, and yeah, just being able to work hard for each other.
These are questions that have been sent in to us to ask athletes and yep. stuff when they come in, and we don't often do this, so I think it's a good one to do with you. Who do you wish was watching you perform at every game or match?
Right now, I wish my wife would come to the local games, but she never, before I went to China, she never.
She's done the hard yards, mate. Give her a break.
She never missed a game. She never yeah. missed a game. And actually, she flew down to one of the West Sydney Wanderers games. We played against Arsenal in front of like 84,000 people, but she didn't enjoy it because the kids were like asleep lying on her, and she's never really been able to enjoy the games. But she never really missed a game with the Socceroos either. So
wow, that's cool.
But I wish she'd come to these local games, but I think she's done her time.
Might have to walk in the corporate a little bit there, mate. The corporate's not up to scratch, I'd say.
Yeah.
Mate, what's your favourite sports movie?
Well, it's got a sports name, but it would be Training Day. Is that a sports movie? No, that's a gangster movie. No, I'd say at the moment I'm watching Last Chance U on yep. Netflix. I love like that lower tier NFL athletes looking to get, but they're saying like only 1 in 400 of the guys are getting to NFL, but it's like a few broken dreams, but it's just real. So I love that. I'm loving that at the moment.
Mate, the NFL has made some of the best sports movies ever.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. Were you a calm or butterflies player when you played?
I think it's good to be nervous. And every game, even at a semi-pro level, I'm always, you know, thinking about the game before, always pray the night before. But I think it's a good thing to be nervous. I guess the day.
Have a chuck before you run on?
Nah, not really. I've got a routine though. Like, you know, every time I'll be doing a pee or something before, I'll be saying, keep it simple, the same messages. It's all about that visualization and routine. But it's good to have butterflies. I think the day I don't is probably the day I retire.
Yeah, you're probably over it if you're not getting butterflies. Yeah. Yeah. Mate, I'm going to eat before a game, or did you not eat during the day, game day?
Always big routine. Like, I think it's changed a little bit, obviously with family and kids. So I kind of eat whatever they're eating the night before, but I'm huge on like bananas. I heard like Peter Siddle eats like 13 bananas during a test match or something. But I have like 2 bananas and that's all I need. Obviously it gives you the most energy over a long period of time from what I've read. But
I won't ask if that's a right one or a non-right one. Getting technical.
Yeah, bananas are the key. Yeah, I've lived on them growing up in Cairns as well.
Okay, mate, just wrap this up. What's one word that describes you?
Different.
Nice. Nice, I like that. Is there any message or anything you want to throw out to people before we turn off? I mean, it's not very often we get a soccer. Did you ever play with Dr. Craig Duncan?
Yeah, he was our sports scientist at West Sydney last year.
What a legend, hey?
He's awesome. And he's working with Brisbane Roar as well. Yep. But that's, you know, that's what kind of got me into loving sports science. I can't really see myself being a sports scientist.
Yep.
But yeah, he's one of the top guys and he's creating change, that's for sure.
He's definitely creating change, isn't he? Did you do a lot of self-science with him as players? Did you a lot of personal mentoring through him? And do you think
my skin folds every 2 weeks and that wasn't the best. But he's
hey, if you played 83 or your whole year apart from Chinese building fine.
Again, he thinks differently. I think he's looking at the holistic athlete, about not everyone's the same mold. And I guess that's interesting as well, because we don't want to get to that robotic, everyone's the same, everyone should be treated the same. As I said, like, I'm different like everyone else is. So it's up to them to work out what works and what doesn't to get the best performance. But again, we need to be thinking about the kids coming through, what's best for them, what's best for their future. It's not just in the code playing professionally, but afterlife as well. Because, you know, I'm 36 now, but it's a long life. It's a long life. This is just not me now. You know, I've got so much to learn. You know, you listen to your dad who's, you know, in their 60s, or your mum. You know, that's experience. So it's a long way to go. And it's just, I think they need to target that more as sports scientists, as coaches, as mentors.
Yeah, it's hard to put a winning mentality and a working for winning, like, you know, earned not bought, and then put someone like Dr. Craig in, who's talking about well-being and long-term athlete happiness. You know, it's you can see where the clashes come at times in some sports and some teams, and especially if a team's not performing, you know, they want instant results. And
it's all about
next week. What are we doing next week?
That's exactly,
and Craig's
right.
All about long-term.
And he's got the experience, you know, like he was there with us with the Socceroos, and he's working with the physios with the coaches. But you're right, it is about success and performance. And I guess the club that are, you know, having that long-term success, like an Ange Postecoglou at the Roar, it doesn't last. I don't know why. Like, that's why I've done my coaching badges as well. But for me to be a coach, I'm going to put my family in the same environment, because you're going to lose your job. I think Graham Arnold was saying that the other day. He's like, don't check your current wage as a coach. Check your payout clause, because the reality is you're going to get sacked.
Yep.
So do I want to put that on my life and on my wife and kids? I don't know. I have to question that. So yeah, it's about ticking every box and changing. Like, why do we have to be like everyone else or every other code? It's just about doing something different, I guess. And the coaches that do that, I think they get the most success.
And I got a lot of time for Dr. Craig Duncan. He's one of the good people in sport.
Yeah, he's doing great things, and he's thinking outside the box, which we have to. Otherwise, we're going to go down a massive slope, I guess, as people.
So just to see if he rubbed off on you, you're getting up in the morning, putting your feet on the ground, being thankful, making your bed so you've achieved something, because they're the things that he's pushing these days. When we had a podcast a while ago, and I thought, you know, the simplicity of what he was telling me, and I do it now.
Yeah.
I listen to what he said, and a bit of journaling as well. It just makes a difference. The guy's really clever.
I agree, and I listen to a lot of his messages, and we had a guy come in from the Resilience Project, Hugh, and he went over to India and just saw how happy kids are living on gutters. And, you know, the messages, the three messages that about empathy and mindfulness and being grateful and, you know, like they are simple messages and Craig's same messages. And it's, we complicate our life so much, you know, and become so busy, you know. I guess now, I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or something, but I'm starting to look at like sunsets more and, you know, my kids dancing more or riding more. It's like, I don't know where what I was thinking before, but my mind's a little bit more open than my wife always says, oh, if you're ever struggling, just look up.
That's such a good line. That is so clever.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a big world up there. Like every day, like even, you know, last night I was, you know, in my cold pool doing a bit of recovery for my calves and just looking at the stars, and it's a big world out here, and you just think, oh, you're this little speck on the earth, and it's just, there's so much more out there, but we just get consumed, you know. So I guess I'll figure those things out as time goes past. But yeah, the most important is we started football and all these things for fun. Like, why isn't anything more than fun? So they say, even like as parents supporting your child, don't be screaming and opposite information and pressing you. Like they say, like, or act like your grandparents support, because you see they see the world in a different aspect, you know. So I guess it's just don't believe everything you read and see. Think outside the box, and I guess that's what his message is.
Well, I guess that's football, mate.
That's football. That's
thanks
life.
For coming in. You're a legend.
Yeah, I appreciate your time.
We'll get you in again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.